Let's look at the passage, Matthew 16:24. I'm preaching the four invitations of God. Last Sunday, we handled the invitation of come to me. Today, we're handling the invitation of call to me. And I'm using this verse on all four invitations that we have because it's about following him. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. We're going to pray together, and as we pray, today is Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50. It's been 50 days after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit was promised by the Lord to come, sent by the Father. And so in Pentecost, the church was given birth. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. So we're gonna thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to thank him for the birth of the church. We also have a lot of young adults going out today, this week, for summer and being summer missionaries and serving during the summer. And we want to pray for them. Whitney Powers, Kylie Adams, Carter Gilbert, Kobe Craycraft, they're going, working at Crossings. Laura Choir is going to Florida, working in a church there. Logan's going overseas in missions, Logan Harvey. He'll be leaving in June. We want to pray for those who've been baptized today, Evan and Ariane, and also Italo. We want to pray for them. And Billy and Jamie, you're here. I think you're in the back. Are you there? Would you wave? They were baptized in the first service, so we've had five baptisms today. And we're going to be praying for Vacation Bible School and all what that means. So just stand with me a little longer, okay? You've stood longer waiting for a table at a restaurant, so I don't apologize. All right, so let's bow before the Father. Will you do that? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our hearts to his heart. May he hear from you. And then give thanks. Give thanks who the Lord is, what he does, what he reveals, how he leads you through. Give him personal thanks today. In our gratitude, would you thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's not an it or a thing. He is a person. So would you thank God that we have him? He leads us and he guides us. He encourages us. He even convicts us. And conviction may feel bad, but it's not bad. It's shaping you into the person of Christ. So give thanks for the person of the Holy Spirit. And then would you give thanks for the birth of the church? It's the bride of Christ. Would you give him thanks that we carry out the mission of Jesus? Pray for our Vacation Bible School. I don't tell you to pray for a smooth one because there's always things that come up in Bible school. But pray that the Lord would resource us with people and attitudes, spirits of hospitality and excellence. Pray that upon Bible school. The kids that come with questions and hurts and lots of desires in their life, and with the parents that we will encounter. Go ahead and be praying for the families that we will cross paths with, that Christ would be magnified and he would be glorified. And this summer, would you pray for Whitney, Kylie, Carter, Kobe, Laura, and Logan as they serve? They've chosen to give their summers in service. We send them out as summer missionaries, really. Pray for them. Would you pray for Billy and Jamie, husband and wife, who were baptized in the first service? Would you pray for Evan, Ariane, and Italo, and their walk with Christ? Father, help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us, but you see me differently. I am your teacher, I'm your preacher, and on me is a greater judgment than anybody in this room, a more strict judgment, and I know that. I know my calling, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here today. If you look at Matthew 16, 24, three things that are going on here if you come to me. We got to deny ourselves. Please don't forget, you and I battle ourselves all the time. I do, you do, we do. I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream, all right? Everybody deals with that. Am I going to have a life that's God-led, or am I going to have a life that's me-led? Everybody in this room deals with that. So we've got to deny ourselves. Take up our cross is a picture of sacrifice. Some of you all have goals in your life. You're willing to sacrifice for those goals. We have to sacrifice self. Romans says that we are living sacrifices unto the Lord. So it's a daily thing. In fact, some of the Gospels mention take up your cross daily. Because it becomes a daily thing to sacrifice and to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. And then lastly, it says, follow me, which is the invitation. So last Sunday, we handled the invitation when we follow the Lord of coming to him. Today, we handle the invitation of following the Lord when he says, call to me. Call to me. So look at Jeremiah 33:3 for a minute, if you will. Just a funny story, part of my life. I try to disciple people where I live, work, and play. It's what we teach here. And we'll hit that in a moment. So I'm an avid outdoorsman. I love to hunt. I'm a big turkey hunter. And so I'm now in the legacy part of that, of teaching other people to actually do it. So a number of years ago, I was in a revival, and I met a guy that was making box calls. He was making box calls, and box calls are meant to sound like the hen turkey, you know, the yawk, 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 you know, sound like you're yelping a little bit. And so the whole purpose you do that is to get that tom, that the boy bird, to gobble, you know. So you call, and he's supposed to answer. So this guy was doing that. He wanted to make a ministry out of it. I was helping him do that. And we were tuning up some of his calls. I said, it needs to be a little more raspy. And, you know, some of them need to be high-pitched for windy days, that kind of stuff. But anyway, so he says, I want to stamp these calls on the top of them. He said, I want to stamp them. And he goes, do you know any scripture verses that would handle turkey hunting? And I said, sure. I said, Jeremiah 33:3. And he goes, you're kidding. And I said, no. And it's, so put yourself in sounding like a hen, you know, and then a gobbler, call to me and I will answer you. So we stamped that on top of his box calls. So I still have one of those. I had two of them. I lost one of them in the woods, but Andrew now has my other box call. Here's an incredible invitation that God gives to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet. He's known as the weeping prophet. He's in jail. He's in the prison of the courtyard. This is the second time he is there. So the Lord is approaching him in jail, in captivity. And the Lord is telling Jeremiah, who had surrendered his life to being that voice for God as the prophet for a lot of his life. And if you know anything about prophets, whatever they speak, they have to live out. They don't get an exemption card. So if it's something of judgment, well, then the prophet has to go through that too. If it's a prophecy of famine, then they have to go through that too. Like Elijah, meaning it didn't rain for all that period of time, he had to go through that too. So the prophet of God had to endure whatever the voice of God was telling him to be able to say. And so the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, God told him, I want you to tell the people to call me. Judah has been very disrespectful to God. Judgment is coming upon them because they had turned from the Lord. And when I read about Judah, I can sometimes see our own nation to the fact that we're turning from the Lord. And when you turn from the Lord, destruction begins to happen. I think we all say that as a whole, but I think you can amen that in your own individual life. So he's telling Judah that there's not only, he's telling Jeremiah, there's not only judgment coming, but I have other things to tell you as well, and I have other things to reveal to you. But I'm telling you now, tell the people to call to me. And so to call to them, the word call here means cry out. It means give a scream of I need rescue and I need help, I need guidance, I need direction. Ask for that. He said, I want you to call. Now, let's get down into real life. I know you're hearing me preach today. I know you're hearing the sermon today, but let's get down into real life. There are times, and the reason I can say this is because I know it happens to me and it happens to you, it happens to us. We can be praying about something and we're going, I don't need to give that to the Lord, because There's a war going on with Israel and Hamas and Gaza. And there's people not having food in other parts of the world. And there's revolt going on in Haiti. And there's the persecuted church. And listen, God doesn't want to hear from me about this, because we'll do that, won't we? Will you just acknowledge that we'll do that? We're going, man, he doesn't want me bringing this itty-bitty thing up. I think of I think of a song. I can't remember the guy's name, you know, that itty bitty world. He's a country music star. But nonetheless, that's just my mind. Let me get back to the sermon. We get to thinking that my little thing that I'm getting ready to bring to the Lord, he doesn't have time for me. And it's just really ridiculous to bring this up compared to all the things that are going on in the world. Guys, I want to be real simple with you. I pray to be simple. My beginning prayer is designed that way for a purpose. I didn't get it from anybody else. I put that together for my own life. And I want to be plain. The enemy does not want you spending time with the Father. Period. He doesn't want you getting anything from him. Like, for example, you can binge watch on Netflix all weekend and never sleep. But you open the Word of God and start reading it and you'll fall asleep in a second. You all listening? I pray to be plain. You'll binge watch something. I mean, it's episode after episode after episode. And man, you're just jacked up, amped up, Red Bulled up, whatever it is you are. And man, you'll watch it all. But you read a devotion of the Word of God and you've nodded off in the first line. The enemy does not want you in any kind of communication with our God, period. And so you and I will go, man, I don't need to bring this before the Lord, because compared to all the other things going on in the world, this is nothing. Let me tell you, when you read the Word of God, you'll find the character of God. And let me tell you about the character of God. Let me tell you how detailed he is. He has every hair on your head numbered. Well, for some of us, it's not that hard, Denny. I love you, Josh. So he gets a break on some of you. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. So his character is a God of detail. So I'm telling you, if it's bothering you, then you need to take that to him. That becomes just a basic discipleship note. If it's aggravating you, it's causing you tension and stress and all that, then that's something you need to take to the Lord. And here's what the enemy will do. Your thing is nothing. You don't need to do that. You don't need to bring that to the Lord, because he's got much, much bigger things to handle than your little thing. And then we won't do it. we'll end up listening to the enemy than we do going to the Lord. Just like I told you about Italo in the gym. And I sense that. I don't want people to think I'm going to be tracking you down all the time. But I do have that personality. But I knew I was to go. And then when I talked to Tiffany, her prayers, and it just all connected. You know what I'm saying? And compared to a lot of things, you're going, man, going over across the gym to say this to somebody is kind of weird. You know, it's kind of weird. But I knew that that is something that the Holy Spirit wanted me to carry out. And we're seeing evidence of this even today. Just a spiritual conversation, the H and the hope arrow on the front of this pulpit. Have spiritual conversations with people and watch what happens. Billy and Jamie, we baptized them in the first service, and they were just invited to come to this church by somebody else, and they came and they sought the Lord and they surrendered to the Lord a few Sundays ago just on a very simple invitation to attend. And it just leads on and on. Do you see what I'm saying? So you approach the Lord. He gives us an invitation to call to him or cry out to him. Personally, I'm learning to pray for the persecuted church of the world. Have I in my past? Yes. I am a part of something called the Voice of the Martyrs, and I have an app on my phone, and I've been kind of marginally connected to them, and now I'm more connected to them because you and I, when we read about what most of the church is going through in the world, you and I, we're doing well. We're not persecuted compared to what most of the world is going through. And so did I do that on a whim because that's just something I thought I needed to do in the season of my life? No, I did it because I felt during my prayer time that God is encouraging me to continue and add to my praying for the persecuted church of the world, the pastors that are in jail because of the gospel, not because they really did anything morally wrong. It's just they presented the gospel. There are parts of the world today that they are, if you are a Christian, they're marking your sidewalk. They're marking the sidewalk in front of your house with symbols to let them know that you, one of three things happen. You either surrender to their belief system, you leave, or you die. There's three choices. When you're marked on the sidewalk, you've got three choices. You're going to switch, you're going to convert to their belief. You're going to flee the area, leave everything behind, and or you're going to be executed. So he's done that with me. He's encouraged me to add to my praying, to calling to him about the persecuted church of the world. So when you pray, and I pray to be plain, and I want to do that, we sense his presence. And we can have very timely prayers. Like many of you, I have my alarm on my phone set for 10:02. We've done that together. In Luke 10:2, pray for laborers. So my alarm goes off. I pray for my family during that time. I pray for Hope Church. There's a lot of people I pray for during that time. And I can have a daily set time that I try to pray. If I'm somewhere and I can't do the 10:02, I get to it as soon as possible. Maybe 2 hours later, I don't know, but I use that as a reminder to pray. So you go, what do I pray, preacher? You pray whatever's in your heart. If there's hurt there, then you give it to him. If there's praise there, then you give it to him. If there's thanks there, then you give it to him. If there are requests there and needs, then you give them to him. And again, you're going to battle, well, this is nothing compared to a lot of things else in the world. His invitation is for you to call to him. Cry out to him. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Many of you know sections of this, but I want to walk you through how this progresses in our life, or it's supposed to. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, you're going to go back to verse 4, if you will. You're going to go, I don't get it. I don't know what needs to go on here. I don't understand. Well, James writes, when you go through difficult times, consider it all joy. And you're going, that seems ridiculous to me. Well, you consider it joy because you know who your God is. And you know that God is going to lead you through. Amen. Amen. So you know, you look at your situation and you know God is going to get me to the other side of this thing. Just like Judah. Judgment's coming to him because they turned from the Lord. But we're going to find out a little bit later. He says, I want you to call to me because I want to promise you that I'm going to restore them. And I'm going to prosper them back even beyond where they were. I'm going to lead you through this difficult time, Jeremiah, and I'm going to lead them through it, and I'm going to show them how much I love them, even though they're going through judgment. I'm going to lead them on the other side. So we rejoice, and then we see why we rejoice in verse 5. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. Now, you're going to concentrate on that, and you should, but we need to be gracious and kind to people because it's not out there. And you're going, well, I'm not going to be gracious and kind because they're not gracious and kind to me. Well, it needs to start somewhere, right? So you be gracious and kind to people. But what I want you to focus in on is the Lord is near. The reason I can rejoice and the reason I can be gracious when I don't want to be is because the Lord is near. He's there. I can rejoice in a dark time because he's with me. And he walks me through the situation. I can be gracious and kind when I don't want to be gracious and kind. Why? Because the Lord is near. Amen. And we give thanks for the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete. That's the Greek word. He's our coach that's always beside us, helping to lead us and guide us and direct us and encourage us and even convict us, which is a good thing. Doesn't feel good, doesn't sound good, but it shapes me into the person of Christ. So verse 6, you all know this one. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Give them to him. He says, I want to hear them. And then you're going to hear in your mind, you don't need to give him that. Because compared to all the big stuff in the world, he's got bigger fish to fry, right? Getting close to lunch. He's got bigger fish to fry, and he's got bigger things to handle. So you don't need to give him your little old stuff. I'm telling you, if it raises your blood pressure and it brings stress and tension to you, you need to take it to him, period. Learn to make your requests known to God. Now, progressively, let's see what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the peace of the Lord. I even see it in the people we baptized today in both services. I physically can see peace on their faces. Of a decision they all need to make in their next steps of following the Lord. So the Lord brings peace. He's our Prince of Peace. So once you pray and you make your requests, the Lord guards our hearts and our minds. He brings his peace. And look at verse 8. This is the way we start thinking. You all will hear me preach today, and some of you won't pay a bit of attention to it, and you'll go home and believe everything on social media you read. All right? I mean, it's called clickbait for a reason, right? You're going to click on it, and it's got you like a hook on a big old bass, you know? Think on the peace of God and the presence of God. Think on things that are true, things that are honorable and are just, pure, lovely, commendable. If there's any moral excellence and if there's any praise, dwell on these things. So the peace of God, him guarding our mind, changes it to this: true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. We want to get there. And you're going, well, man, there's no way I don't get there in a year, let alone a day. You may not even get there in a lifetime, but that's the way he wants us to think. Now just stop. The enemy wants us in the reverse of every bit of that. Lies and deceit and gossip. And I could go on through every one of them, but you get the picture, right? So he says, call to me. Call to me. If Jesus needed to go away and pray, then what am I going to say next? Oh, how much more do we? If Jesus needed to go away and be with the Father, how much more do you and I need to go away and to be with the Father? So the invitation is call to him. Jeremiah 33:3, the second part of this, he says, I will answer you. It's a promise. Look at Psalm 69:13 real quickly. He says, but as for me, Lord, my prayer to you is for a time of favor in your abundant, faithful love. God, answer me with your sure salvation. He's making his request known. He needs to know that God remembers him. He also needs to remember, I am loved by you more than anybody on the planet, and that God, you do answer me, and you answer me according to your ways. That's where we want to get to. Here's the deal. The Lord will answer you, but it'll be on his terms. It'll be according to his character. And James says he'll answer prayers according to his will. You and I have got to know that when we go in. I'm not going to come in and say, now God, here's my situation and here's how I want you to answer it. That's the way a lot of us approach him. We need to approach him going, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need your guidance on this matter. And he answers us, but it'll always be on his terms. And this is where we hit the wall. If you've ever done Experiencing God, which I've led you through it several times in our 30 years together, you get to a point that's called crisis of belief. It's a crossroads. You don't know which way to go. I mean, you hit the wall. You hit the wall. And you need to understand he has an answer, but it's going to be his answer. It's going to be his answer as to what you need to do. James writes, and we handled this a few Sundays ago, that he's a good father. God is a good father. And he brings good things to us. But he never changes. The God that spoke to Jeremiah is the same God that speaks to all of us today. And he said, not only, Jeremiah, do I want you to tell the people to call to me, but I want you to let them know I will answer them, but it's going to be on my terms, and they need to follow me on my terms. And if they do, I'm going to bring prosperity and restoration to them. Judgment's going to happen, but I'll lead you through the judgment if you'll just handle life according to the way I need you to handle your life. It'll be his answer. Guys, is that not where we are? You'll call to the Lord and he'll answer you, but you just don't want to surrender to that. I mean, we've got a generation that doesn't want to be told anything what to do. My dad didn't ask anything of me. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? My dad told me. there wasn't any asking. There was, this is what you're going to do. I remember I used to want to go to the swimming pool at Greensburg. I couldn't wait to get there. But I couldn't go to the swimming pool till I tilled the whole garden. And we had a garden as big as Texas, I'm just going to tell you. But I had to till the garden or I didn't go to the pool. I didn't get to have fun till I had fulfilled responsibility. Yeah, and we got a generation that doesn't want to be told anything. In fact, they think they should be telling us what to do. And we get that attitude. Come on. Thank you. Y'all wear me out. And we get that attitude. And guys, we carry that attitude to God. I'm going to tell God what he needs to do and how he needs to answer my prayers. And that's not the way it works. He answers our prayers according to his character and his will, and he handles them on his terms. Then you and I see the revelation of that, and we have to surrender our lives to that. And I'm going to tell you, it's the best way to go. It's absolutely the best way to go. So we follow him means that we hear the invitation that he says to come to him. It's also the invitation to call to him, and it's seeking him out. I need your understanding. I need your wisdom in this situation. The last part of Jeremiah 33:3, he said, I'm going to tell you great and wondrous things you do not know. Luke 16:10 has a kingdom principle in it. And it is about being faithful in small things, and you'll be put in faith in charge of larger things. Whoever's faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and whoever's unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. And there are no shortcuts here, okay? You don't jump to the big stuff until you have been found faithful in the small stuff. A lot of people think, well, I'll dodge the small stuff and go to the big stuff. It might work that way in other things in the world, but it doesn't work that way in the kingdom. So where do I start? Where do I begin is a question. You may be encouraged today to live a life of faith and trust in the Lord. I hope that you are. So where do I start? Well, you start where you live, work, and play. You start in your very own home. You start with the people you work around day in and day out. And you start where you have your hobby. And I don't think hobbies and recreation are wrong. I really encourage them. But I begin living my faithfulness where I live, work, and play. That's where I start. And I start just in the small ways that they know who I am and who I stand for. And he said, if you call to me, I'm going to answer you. It's going to be on my terms, but I'm going to show you stuff that's going to blow your mind. That's what that means in Jeremiah 33:3. Switch back to that verse, if you will. He said, I'm going to tell you of great and wondrous things that you don't know and that you don't understand. And these things are meaning immeasurable things. They're immeasurable things. They are hidden things. They're inaccessible. You can't get to them without God. That's what it means. The word used here is a fortified city, a great walled up city. And the only way you can get in that city is if he lets you in there. You're not going to stumble on these great and wondrous things. They're not just going to fall in your lap. You're going to have to seek him and with all of your heart. And it said, I will show you things that you can't measure on this earth. Things that are hidden, and the only way you get to them is if God gives you the escort there. That's the only way it happens. Now, the comparable verse in the New Testament is Ephesians 3:20-21. But I want to read verses 17 because I want you to see how this is all shaping. And that the Messiah, Christ, may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's where it begins. Our faith and trust is there. I pray that you be rooted and firmly established in love. You may be able to comprehend, verse 18. We are comprehending. We're getting the wisdom of God, understanding with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love. I'm just seeing how big my God is. And to know the Messiah or Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. We're in a world now where knowledge is king. Paul goes on to write that we seek knowledge, but we don't grasp the wisdom of God. I mean, AI is on our doorstep, you all. They're even making it for schools of theology where you can just rig up a topic and it just puts it all together for you. And I don't know that I understand it all. I'm sure I will. It'll be a part of our life. But we seek knowledge for us instead of the wisdom of God. It says the love of Christ surpasses all the knowledge that you can get together so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now here's the verses you're used to that are comparable to Jeremiah 33:3. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in you. To him be glory in the church, and today is Pentecost. The birth of the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen. Warren Wiersbe wrote this. He said, we don't learn hidden things on our own. You've got to seek him. And seeking him out leads to revelation and discovery. Let me show you Hebrews 11:6. This is a life verse for me. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near, do you see that? The one who draws near comes to him and calls to him. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, that there is no one like him and there's no one above him. and he rewards those who seek him. And I'm into the rewards, don't get me wrong. But some of us get to thinking about material things when we think about rewards. I want to challenge you to stop and think that the very reward is God himself. That I have him. And that the Lord is near, that verse we handled earlier. And that's why he says, call to me. This morning, I was getting ready. I was listening to a podcast on my phone and Christian music on our bedroom radio simultaneously. So I was listening to both. And I use an Experiencing God devotion on my desk. And I have it on my phone too. And I do the Our Daily Bread is part of my daily devotion. So I heard the Lord this morning in the midst of a phone podcast and a radio Christian music going. I want you to go read your devotion today. And I, like you, are like, I'm getting ready to go preach. Can't you see I'm a little busy here? I've got stuff going on. I want you to go, I want you to go read your devotion this morning. And normally, I would read it after these services this afternoon. I want you to go this morning. And I wrestled. Don't we do that? You know, I don't know why we do that. I do it too. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, you know, I'm getting ready, and I just go look at today's date, May 19th, and open it up and read it. I said, okay. I went in there, and I opened it up, and don't you know it was all about Jeremiah and Judah? Every bit of it. Now, I didn't learn anything in the devotion new, really, to put in the sermon, but you know what I think he wanted me to know? Is that I want to show you how well connected I actually am. Not me, him. That I know what you're preaching about today, and I want you to go read that devotion, because I already know what the devotion. Some of you come to me and you go, hey, preacher, how did you know I needed that sermon today? It was meant just for me. And I'll tease you and go, well, your name's at the top of the page right there. I got your name written down, right? And you'll go, how'd you know? I didn't know. But who knew? He knew. That's why I pray for words of knowledge to speak to your life or your situation. I think just simply with my devotion this morning was just to he wanted to let me know that he knew what the devotion was today. He knew what I was preaching on. He just wanted me to know that he connects the dots. And I started laughing. I got into the devotion. We're reading about Jeremiah and we're reading about Judah and it's who he is. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, okay. Doesn't he do that to us? Hey guys, listen, we need him. Yes. And he has presented himself, and here is our sin. We dodge him. He has revealed and revealed and revealed and revealed. And we dodge, and we dodge, and we dodge. Call to me, he said. I will answer you. His answer, it'll be the right answer. And I'll show you great and mighty things that'll blow your mind. That the only way you can discover them is if I let you in on them. They're hidden. And the only way you can find them is that I take you to them. Guys, we have a God who loves us. Not only is there judgment, but he brings peace and restoration too. All right? He leads us through. Amen? You receive that today? I pray that you do. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Blessings on them, Lord. Thank you for what we learned from your word, from the weeping prophet Jeremiah, as you told him to tell the people to call to you. And Father, I pray we surrender that even the little stuff in our life, Lord, we bring to you. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but you want us to bring our things to you, our praise and our worship and our thanks. You want us to bring our hurts and our needs, all that, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to come to you. Teach us to do that. Father, I pray over decisions that are made here today. I pray over them. I pray that you give them courage and boldness to make the decisions they need. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for what he does in our life, and we thank you for the birth of the church that carries out the mission of you, Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Listen, the invitation is for you to come. There'll be counselors here to receive you. And I'll say this. The water's ready, okay? By the time we get out of church, it's going to be 80 degrees. It feels like 90 up here where I am. And if you're here and you've given your life to Christ and you've never been baptized, here's water. What hinders you from being baptized? And you're going, well, I don't have anything to change in. It's going to be 80 degrees outside. You're going to be fine. We did this one time and a guy, I was baptizing, he goes, wait a minute, let me take my billfold out. I said, no, leave that in there. We need to baptize that too. And I, of course, took it out. So you come. If you're here and you know you need to be baptized, man, just go home wet and at peace. Will you do that? I'll baptize you today before we leave this place. I'll be more than happy to do that. You come and you need to be saved. Surrender today. Let today be the day that you put your faith and trust in him through his son, Jesus. The invitation, whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, you find your spot. Logan's going to lead us and you come.